Alicia, I know you arrived in Mosul early this morning to follow up on the reported killings of the two sons of Saddam Hussein. What did you find when you arrived in Mosul?
Well, the first thing we ran into, of course, was just a gaggle of reporters here. This is a huge, huge story. There must be at least 100 journalists milling about right in front of the house. There are at least another couple of thousand spectators out on the sidewalk across the street from the house, spectators and also those who want to say something to the cameras that are here. And when the cameras do come on, these people seem to be quite willing to say very pro-Saddam type of things. And we had a little bit of a tense moment a few minutes ago when they started chanting, "We love Saddam," and the soldiers were forced to take the cameras and tell them to go away from that area because it was inciting a lot of emotional response from this crowd.
Well, it's quite interesting, Alicia, that people are chanting for the cameras, "We love Saddam," especially on the day after his sons were apparently killed, and most especially in a town like Mosul, which is a largely Kurdish town.
Yeah, it is a Kurdish town, but the religious breakup of Mosul is mostly Sunni Muslim. They have, I think, rather mixed feelings about the demise of Saddam Hussein's two sons. Many times you would ask a group of people, "How do you feel about this? Do you feel that these were bad people?" And you would get half of them saying, "Yes, they were very bad people." And then the other half would say, "No, they were martyrs, and they died for the cause of Iraqis." And so it's very difficult to know exactly what the actual mood and the emotion of the people here are. Because of the presence of the cameras, it also seems to distort a lot of what they're feeling, because as soon as that camera goes on, they want to put on a show, it seems, and they become very vocal and very animated, and it's mostly chanting pro-Saddam type of things. I have not been able to get a very clear picture of what the mood is here.
Alicia, I know you have seen the house where the sons of Saddam were staying and which was assaulted by the U.S. military. Can you describe the house for us and tell us what you know about how they came to be there and how the U.S. military found out about it?
Actually, the military has not been very forthcoming about how they got the information. All we're told is that they received a tip from an informant. Who that informant is still a secret. They haven't told us much about the informant. The house belongs to whom we are told, not to the cousin of Saddam Hussein, as it was first reported, but to a man who's the brother of a guy who claimed to have been Saddam Hussein's cousin. So once again, it's one of these very complex situations where we're not quite sure exactly what the truth is. But we are told that there was a car that pulled up about a week ago with Arab-dressed looking men, and the men came about 9 o'clock in the morning. They went into the house, and it seems that was Uday and Qusay Hussein, that they have been in that house for nearly a week. And aside from that, we're not really given much more information.
I understand it's quite a grand house. Can you describe the house to us and also the condition that it's in after this assault?
I can't tell what it looked like before, but it does look like a fairly large house. I wouldn't call it a mansion, but it's a two-level house, and it had very ornate pillars, which are now twisted and bent. Most of it has been smashed. The second floor has all been smashed. You can see the smoke still coming out of the windows on the second floor, so something is still smoldering in there. This building has been very heavily hit by some very heavy weaponry, including, we've been told, Mark 19 grenade launchers, TOW anti-tank rounds, as well as missiles from Kiowa Warrior helicopters. These are Army assault helicopters that came in. There were no Apaches or anything like that used, but enough firepower that it did enormous amount of damage. There are gaping holes everywhere along the sides of the building, well as to the front. Apparently, there were about 10 to 14 other houses around the block that were also damaged. Combat engineering team has been out this morning assessing the damage on those houses, and they want to repair the utilities and the structural damage to those cars as soon as possible, they say, so that the neighborhood can get back into normal business.
Well, Alicia, what happens now in Mosul? This major incident last night and lots of reporters out there, lots of people on the streets. Is the story finished, or is there more happening today in Mosul?
We're not sure. We've been told that there was going to be a public affairs officer for the 101st division, which is the division that led this assault yesterday. We have not seen the public affairs officer. Most of us have been out in the baking sun for about, it's going on about 4 hours now. We are hoping to get some clarification on what the operation entails and to get some more information of, you know, whether we'd be allowed to get into the building itself so that the journalists can see what happened and where they found the bodies and do a little bit of that kind of investigation ourselves. Whether we'll be allowed to do that, I still don't know, and we're hoping that that's going to be the case.
All right, Alicia, thank you very much. That's VOA's Alicia Rue in Mosul in northern Iraq, and I'm Al Pessin, VOA.